Here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church, we have embarked on a series of teaching that is attempting to answer this question. What is a Baptist church? Some of you might be confident that you know the answer. Some of you might never have been to a Baptist church before this morning. Some of you might be confused about what makes this church different from the one down the road or any other church. The truth is that most churches share most of what we believe. Most churches are sincerely attempting to follow Jesus in the best way they know how. And this series is an attempt at trying to think about what we as a Baptist church understand about some of the core teaching of the Bible and what it means for the way that we do things here. So last week, those of us who were here, we spent some time thinking about authority. We asked ourselves, who is in charge? And we thought about how historically Baptists were fed up with the interference of kings and popes and bishops and governments in how they worshipped and what they believed. And so the Baptist church was born under the authority of Jesus alone, holding firm to the understanding that each person should have the freedom to worship as they saw fit, that faith of any sort should not be dictated by any other person or institution, that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. In the weeks to come, we're going to think more about what it means for how we make decisions in Baptist churches. We'll think together about the Bible and what it means for us. And we'll think about how we relate to other people who are not part of the church too. But this week, the question before us is what's the water for? The short answer, of course, is that the water is for baptizing people, as we will do later. The water is what gives Baptist churches their name, but we're going to explore that a bit more deeply. And we'll think particularly about what makes us different from some other churches. Because one of the key differences between what Baptists believe about baptism and what some other churches believe is that for us, baptism is a sign or a symbol of something that has already taken place. Christians sometimes talk about salvation or being saved from sin. And for some churches, there is a belief that it is baptism that grants this salvation. This is the where the idea of baptizing babies comes from. So about 200 years or so after Jesus, there was a widespread belief that in order to be saved, in order to belong to God, you had to be baptized. You needed to be baptized in order to belong, and therefore in order to have eternal life with God. In order for people to go to heaven, they had to be baptized. And in those days, there was also a much higher rate of infant mortality than there is now. Babies died much more regularly. And so the natural conclusion, I think, is that if we wanted to make sure those babies went to heaven and the only way to get to heaven is to be baptized, is we're going to baptize the babies. And that's where this idea of christening comes from. We baptize the babies as early as possible to make sure that they have got their place. But we don't baptize babies here. We don't do christenings. We don't have a font for the sprinkling of water. Baptism here, as we will all see later, is a full-on dunking of people old enough to follow Jesus for themselves. And partly that's because we don't believe that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven. We don't believe that Jesus is going to condemn all the little babies who have not had a bit of water sprinkled on their heads just because they haven't had a bit of water sprinkled on their heads. You don't need to be baptized. There is no magic in this pool. Rather, this is an important symbol. It is a powerful outward sign of an inward reality. Probably the best way for us to understand why baptism is so important to Baptists and why we do it the way we do is to ask ourselves what baptism is. If it doesn't get us to heaven, what on earth is it for? If it is indeed just a symbol, what is it a symbol of? Water is a really important symbol of being saved in the Bible, of being set free and of dealing with sin. Sin is what happens when we choose our own way rather than God's way, when we think that our idea, our concept of good and evil and how we should live is better than the Creator's. And we choose our way rather than His. And so when the world was full of sin, God sent a flood to cleanse it. When God's people were freed from slavery in Egypt, the water of the Red Sea parted and they walked through it into a new life. They walked through the water into freedom and something new, set free from captivity. When in the Old Testament, God sets out His commands for how His people should draw close to Him, what the priests have to do, how they can make themselves ritually and spiritually clean, it involved ceremonial washing with water. The physical act of cleaning themselves was a way to help them to get their heads and their hearts in the right place to meet with God, to belong to Him. And so by the time we get to when Jesus walked this planet, baptism is already an important symbol. John the Baptist is already out there in the desert years before Jesus' death and resurrection, baptizing people and encouraging them to change from their old sinful ways of life to something new, to repent and turn back to God. Baptism, the water, is a powerful symbol. In it, we are reminded that the cost of sin is death. That life and life eternal only comes from God. And so if we choose to live our own way rather than His, the end result can only be death. Just as many died in the flood. It reminds us too of Jesus' own death for us to set us free from sin. As we plunge people into the water, I don't do that when they're in the water. That was awful, wasn't it, that movement? You sort of shake them while they're down. We don't do it like that, just down and back up. But as we plunge people into the water, it is a sign that they have died to their old way of life. It is like being buried to doing things their way. And then as we raise them back out of the water, we are reminded that Jesus did not stay in His grave, that Jesus didn't stay dead, that He was raised to life. He has defeated death and sin, and He has made a way for us to live. As we come back out of the waters of baptism, we are reminded that being a Christian means having a new life. Part of the symbol is those being baptized will enter at one end of the pool and exit at the other. Something is different. Something has changed. There is a new way to live. Jesus Himself talked about being born again. We have a new life lived according to His ways and not our own. Set free from sin and darkness so that we can live in the love of God as He created us to live. Romans 6 puts it like this. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is a sign to the world that we have chosen to follow Jesus and that in doing so we have committed to following His ways, confident of His promise of a new life. When we are baptized, we are declaring to the world that we believe in Jesus, that we believe Jesus is the Son of God, But it's more than that. It's that we believe that Jesus died and rose again to set us free from sin, to bring us life and renew our relationship with God. Romans 8 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Baptism is a sign, a symbol that we believe in Jesus, but it's more than just believing. It is a sign of our commitment to follow him, our dedication to his ways, our choice to be obedient to him. It is declaring to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. 1 John 2 sets it out clearly. We know that we have come to know Jesus if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So baptism is a sign of believing. It is a sign of following or obeying. And it is also a sign that we belong to him. The wonderful promise of God is that we can be part of his family. John 1 says, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Galatians 3 tells us, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with him. It is a wonderful privilege that Jesus died to save us when we could do nothing to save ourselves. That he came to set right what is wrong in this world and in our lives. And he has called us to belong to him, to be part of the royal family of God, and to be part of his mission to this world too. And being a child of God, belonging to Jesus, means that we get all these brothers and sisters as well, others who have been called to him just as we have, that together we are bound into a new family to love each other, to care for each other, to support each other, to challenge each other and spur each other on. This is what the church is, a family of God coming together in his name. Baptism is a significant symbol of believing in Jesus, of our commitment to follow Jesus' ways, of belonging to Jesus and his family in the church. This I know 100% to be true. But I think it is something more also. I've already said there is nothing magical about these waters. You don't get saved by being baptized. You can't like run and jump in at the end of church and then leave knowing that you'll be all right for eternity. It's not holy water. I haven't blessed it before the service or anything. But I really do believe that there is something beyond my understanding that happens when people are baptized. That here God has promised to meet us through his Holy Spirit. That as people come to be baptized in this public commitment to him, in this act of obedience, that something profoundly spiritual happens that I cannot easily explain. The closest I can get is to say that God is especially present in a profound way here, as we baptize in his name. If you want a good analogy to try and tie it to, in some ways it's not unlike the coronation that's going to take place in a couple of weeks. King Charles is King Charles. He is already King Charles. Happened as soon as the Queen passed away. But he will have a coronation in a couple of weeks. He doesn't need it in order to be king, but he will have it, a crown will be put on his head. He will be anointed with oil. He will be prayed for. There will be music. And in here, we will eat cake and drink tea and coffee and celebrate. It'll be a great celebration. And the world will know that this is our king. There's something similar here where you don't need the waters of baptism to be a follower of Jesus. But there's something really important about the occasion of coming and being baptized and inviting God to come and to move and bless us and fill us with his Holy Spirit. So it might be that you're sat there this morning wondering, why bother, right? If you can belong to Jesus without being baptized, if you can believe in him and follow him without it, if all this is just a symbol, albeit a powerful one, why bother being baptized at all? And it's a good question. You can tell it's a good question because I've already prepared an answer for it. First and most simply, Jesus commanded it. When he sent his disciples into the world after his own death and resurrection, his command was to make disciples of all people and to baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when the disciples go out into the world and share the good news of Jesus, when they tell everyone who Jesus is and what he's done, they command them to be baptized. In Acts 2, Peter tells the crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit." In Acts 22, when Paul is talking about his own encounter with Jesus, he recalls that a follower of Jesus called Ananias said to him, "What are you waiting for? You've met Jesus. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on Jesus' name." Time and again in the New Testament, the command and expectation is that those who commit themselves to Jesus will be baptized. Jesus himself sets that example right at the start of his own ministry as he is baptized by John the Baptist. Our baptism is in imitation of Christ. We follow his example to publicly commit ourselves to the Lord. And maybe the most important reason for our baptism is the most simple. It is a sign of our salvation. God loved the world so much, he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The good news of Jesus is that while we were still sinners living our own way, he died that we might have life, so that we might have a fresh start, a new relationship with a living, loving God. And this is the story that Philip shares with the Ethiopian in Acts 8. It's interesting. The Ethiopian in that story that Joe read to us is a eunuch, which means that according to the law at the time, he's not allowed into the temple. He's not allowed to draw close to God. But Philip explains to him this passage, starting with this passage in Isaiah, that Jesus has made a way for him to have a relationship with Creator God. That those who were excluded can now be included. Jesus died and rose again to save the world, to renew our relationship with God, to enable us to have right relationships with one another. Jesus lived and died for you, that you might be set free. And if that is true, isn't that something that you want to declare to everyone? Shouldn't that be something that we want to shout to the world, that Jesus loves me so much, he died for me? That the one through whom all things were made suffered and died to set you free. I think it's worth shouting about, especially when that same Lord commands us to follow him and be baptized. What could possibly stop us? Let me cycle back briefly to the whole thing about us being a Baptist church. As Baptists, we passionately believe in the authority of Jesus. We believe no person has a right to tell us what to believe or how to worship. There's an old joke that if you have two Baptists in a room, you have three opinions on any given matter. We believe that our relationship with God is our own choice, that each person has a choice about whether or not to follow Jesus, whether to belong to his family. He died for you, and you get to choose how to respond. And so baptism is only for those who have made a choice for themselves to belong to God's family. It is for those who have heard the good news of Jesus and made a decision to obey his commands, to follow his ways rather than their own. Baptism is that public sign of an inward reality that we now belong to Jesus, and no one can choose that for you. No king or pope or parent. And that's ultimately why we don't baptize babies. We wait until they can choose Jesus for themselves. We dedicate babies instead. We do this thing, we call it dedication. We bring them before God and we pray that he would bless them and their family. And we pray that they might come, that child might come to choose to follow him for themselves. And if you're here with us next week, you can have that demonstrated as we're going to have a dedication next week. But we don't sign them up to follow Jesus without them being able to object or agree. This is the pattern as we see it in the Bible. In the Bible, people are baptized after they've committed themselves to the Lord who gave himself for them. Right, I need to wrap up. I've already gone on way too long. I love the passage we heard in Acts 8. It is a real challenge for me. So Philip's on the road and he chats to this Ethiopian for a while. And then the Ethiopian says, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? What is to stop me from publicly committing myself to Jesus right here and now? And sometimes in church, we make it difficult for people to come and be baptized. We want them to do some baptismal classes to make sure that they're ready and that they fully understand exactly what's going on. But that isn't something that we see in the Bible. Here in Scripture, once someone commits to following Jesus, they declare it to the world in baptism. And in baptism, the Holy Spirit is invited to come into their life and move in power. When I was thinking about preaching on this passage today, God clearly spoke to me. He told me to fill the baptistry and to baptize those that would come. And so this morning, if you haven't been baptized, I have a question for you. What is standing in your way? What is stopping you? What is preventing you from declaring your allegiance to Jesus, to obeying the call of Scripture? When I baptize people, I ask them these three questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? In obedience to Christ, do you turn away from sin and come to be baptized? And with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service to God? If you have not been baptized and can answer yes to all three of these questions, what on earth is stopping you? We're going to sing together in just a moment. And if you are feeling a nudge of God this morning, if there is an uncomfortableness in your belly because you know you can answer yes to these questions and you haven't yet been baptized, if you'd like to be baptized this morning as we sing, please come and talk to me during the song, and we will invite the children and young people back and baptize those who come. What is stopping you?